Hi, everybody. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson with the LCJ Q&A, and joining me is the director of Smurfs The Lost Village, Kelly Asbury. Kelly, welcome.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Congratulations on the movie. I saw it with a bunch of kids, and it's really a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. You know, it's a Smurf movie, and it's supposed to be fun and lighthearted and adventurous, and that's what we tried to do, is just to make something that was as entertaining as those original Peyo comic books from way back.
And this is not only a revamp for those who have grown up with the Smurfs and been with them for most of their lives, but for some kids, it's an introduction into the Smurf world. Did you decide to start out by going in the origin story route because you had this new group of 4 to 8-year-olds in mind?
You know, I approached it as when the decision was made that this was going to be a reboot, I approached it as if, okay, there's never been anything, no one knows anything about the Smurfs. At the same time, we didn't want to get very pedantic and make the entire thing just a big lesson on what a Smurf is, but we did want to just usher people in and give them a little background, a little bit of an origin of a couple of things, and then let a story start. I handled it as if it was a brand new property. I thought that was the healthiest way to do it.
And you've got a lot going on. You've got the Smurfette origin story. You've got Gargamel trying to capture the Smurfs themselves, and the new village that we explore. Was it a challenge for you to try to balance everything in terms of time devotion for the film?
Absolutely. The film went through a lot of development, and with the big regime change at Sony a couple of years back, almost 2 years ago exactly, we really sort of wiped the slate clean again and started over. And that ended up being a very healthy exercise, but it did sort of make everyone make decisions quickly, and we made the film at a pace that I've never quite worked before, but I enjoyed it, and I think we ended up with a film that came in at the budget we wanted, and the team that put it together, the effects team and the animators and everyone involved, and the lighting and the sound and the music, it really came together in a way that I've never seen anything quite so smooth, and I'm very proud of the product.
And was it in those past 2 years that you did the new CG character design looks for the Smurfs?
Yeah, that was in the early development stage. That was a decision that I wanted that from the very beginning. I wanted to take the Smurfs and really go back to the look of the Peyo, to really dimensionalize Peyo's world and give it a level of dimension similar to, you know, the old Viewmasters, where they had the three-dimensional sort of dioramas that you'd go into these cartoons like the Flintstones or, you know, I really always wished I could just climb into one of those Viewmaster scenes. And I wanted the movie to reflect that sort of miniature world that still has a sense of reality about it. So all of that was part of why we did make these Smurfs as dimensional as we could, but still sticking to the basic concept of Peyo's early designs.
And one of my favorite visual elements watching the movie is the river that flows in midair. I'm sure that was not easy to bring to life.
No, not at all. It was not easy to describe. That was the idea originally of our writer, Pamela Riven, and we really struggled with, okay, how are we going to depict this? And our storyboard artist extraordinaire, Brian Andrews, had a lot to do with the storyboarding of that sequence. He's got a big background in action scenes for live action and animation. And he started visualizing it in a way that we started getting a hint of what we could do with it. And then, of course, our visual effects supervisor, Mike Ford, and his team of lighters and technicians are the ones who came up with the actual look of it. And it was a long time coming, and it took a long time to realize that sequence and see what it was actually going to be. So we sort of kind of held our breath a little bit, hoping that it was going to work, and it ended up being spectacular. And I thank the effects team for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It really looked nice. So, Kelly, two words: Julia Roberts. How did you get her to be in the movie and voice Smurf Willow?
Well, we were looking for the perfect Smurf Willow, and Julia manager called our casting director and said, Julia is really interested in doing some animation work. And we said, hey, we got a part for her.
Wow.
It really happened like that, and she was lovely to work with. She came in for two different recording sessions, and both times really gave us, she really brought dimension to that character in a way that I think you can't really predict until you get the right performer, and she certainly was. And it's a standout voice in the movie.
Yeah, that's amazing that it happened like that. That's an unbelievable story.
Fantastic. It's a great story. And she was so lovely. I just, you know, I loved her before she walked in the room, and I'm in love with her now.
That's great. And I want to thank you for getting Gordon Ramsay to voice Chef Smurf and for him saying the line that he says. It was laugh out loud funny at that moment.
Yeah, he's, you know, and he's also such a great guy. I was so lucky on the show. We had this wonderful cast of cameos as well as our main cast, and everyone just had fun, and I let people improvise behind the mic, and, you know, I tried to keep it as spontaneous as I could because I wanted it to feel, you know, like it was all natural dialogue and I didn't want people to come in and do wacky cartoon voices. I wanted them, and they all gave me that, and Gordon was truly a good sport and wonderful.
And you actually do the voice of Nosy Smurf. And he's at the center of one of the great running jokes of the movie. So is, you know, you're directing yourself? How does that work?
Well, you know, we do what's called scratch dialogue, where we use temporary voices. We call it local talent, anyone that's on the crew that can come in. And sometimes those voices stick. And when I did Nosy, we used it. We just sort of tried it, and people laughed. And we thought, you know what? Everyone just said, look, we got to keep it that way. You won't find anybody to do it better. So I got the part.
Congratulations, yeah.
Thank you.
Very, very funny to watch. So you've got Meghan Trainor. She had a song in the Peanuts movie and now one here in Smurfs called I'm a Lady, and she appropriately voices Smurf Melody. So she must be a big fan of animation, too.
She was a big fan of the Smurfs.
Mm.
She jumped at the chance, and actually she wrote that song the night that we proposed to her that she come and do a song for us. She was so excited about it. She loved the movie, and she came in, and once again, another case of someone who just comes in the studio, and it's just a total sweetheart. And she played the song for us, and we all heard it, and we fell in love with it. And it really was this sort of last-minute kind of thing. It was one of the last elements that was put in the movie. And she just really jumped on board, and the song, everyone loves the song, and it was really great. So I'm thrilled and privileged to have had all these great people.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I have to compliment you on the film's climax. Obviously, I don't want to give anything away here, but it's definitely one of the most dramatic and effective things Sony Animation has ever done. And you kind of went down a similar path with the final act of Romeo and Juliet.
Well, you know, there are classic things that you do, and we tried to put a little different spin on this particular ending, but, yeah, I mean, it just seemed appropriate, and I don't want to spoil anything, but I appreciate you saying that. I think, you know, it does strike an emotional chord that I think surprises people, because I think a lot of people, as with Romeo and Juliet, a lot of people don't expect to go to a Smurf film or a movie about gnomes and feel any particular emotion. And I hope that worked, because that's part of the beauty of good stories, is having different levels of emotion, both happy and sometimes a little poignant.
In promoting the Smurfs, you were recently a judge on Cake Wars. Now, I love this show. I watch this show all the time. There's so many things. We could spend 20 minutes and I'd just ask you a bunch of questions about Cake Wars. I'll save it for just one question. I guess, what do you do for those 4 hours when the contestants are baking in the second round?
Well, you know, they shoot a little bit of B-roll of the judges, and they have us talking to each other. You know, and then you go backstage and walk around and sort of watch the people baking. And then after a while, you have lunch, and in my case, I took a little nap. It was a 12-hour day, all told, from getting in there. But it was a real adventure, because I don't have a lot of opportunity to be involved in television. And it was really handled like clockwork, and they knew exactly, they had a format by which they did everything, and they they came and got us out of our dressing rooms and put us back on the table and said, okay, here we go, we're going to do it, roll them. You know, it was really exciting, and it was over too soon. Mm. Even 12 hours went by fast.
Wow. Are you allowed to say how long ago that you did it?
We taped that around Christmas time.
Okay.
It wasn't that long. The film was finished, and it was just before Christmas.
Okay, because, devoting a whole day while you've still got the film going might be a little...
Yeah, luckily I was sort of out of the depths when that was able to be done.
All right. Now, I want to get into some of the other films you've been a part of. Shrek 2, I think, was the first animated movie that was infused with pop culture references. And so many animated movies have come along since, and they've tried to live up to that standard that you set. Was it a risk at that time to incorporate all those entertainment jabs into Shrek 2?
Well, you know, in Shrek 1, the jabs were directed at traditional Disney films.
Mm.
And in Shrek 2, the jabs were directed at Hollywood. And so we really just had fun with that concept that, okay, this is Beverly Hills, this is, Far, Far Away is a version of Beverly Hills and Hollywood, and so we're going to take Rodeo Drive, and in our case we called it Romeo Drive, and we're going to have Abercrombie and Witch, and we're going to have Far, Far Away Bucks, and all these things. It just was fun, and the more we laughed at it, we had never seen it before, and so we started doing it, and it just got funny, and one thing led to another, and before we knew it, we were doing a take on Cops, we were doing a take on E! Entertainment, Joan Rivers in there, and it just became a fun sort of parody of Hollywood glitz and glamour. Even the Hollywood Bowl is featured in the last section, so it was really just fun. And I think that we had so much fun doing it that we just sort of said, you know what, this is working, we're going to do it, and the audiences luckily responded well.
Mm, yeah.
That was a very gratifying movie to be part of.
Mm. And you were a visual development artist on the original Beauty and the Beast. Have you seen the new movie?
I have not been able to get, because I've been doing so much work with press. We're coming out so soon. In the wake of Beauty and the Beast, I've had to be doing press, but I want to see it, and I look forward to it, and I hear it's beautiful. And, you know, it was really, to be part of that legacy in any way is such it's very fulfilling as a creative person in the animation industry to have been part of something that's just expanded to the point that it has.
Yeah, it's a monster right now at the box office, my gosh. I want to finish this interview the way you finished the movie. You dedicate the film to the wife of Peyo, the creator of the Smurfs, Neen Culliford, who passed away last year, and you reveal she actually chose the Smurfs' blue color, which is amazing.
Yeah, the story behind that, from what I've heard, is... Peyo originally was trying to come up with the proper color for them. He was trying different things like green, and she said, no, do this color blue because they need to stand out, and there's nothing in nature that's that blue. So she chose this specific color, and he liked it, and the Smurfs from that point forward were that very specific blue.
Wow.
And so I think they're... Someone told me I've got a dog in the background. Someone told me that there really is actually a color that some people will say Smurf blue.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at stores and you look at clothing, you look at everything, and now do you see it too where your eye just goes, that is Smurf blue?
Yeah. I look around and I go, okay, that's a Smurf blue versus that blue. That's a teal. That's a peacock blue. That's aqua. And this is Smurf.
Wow.
Believe it or not, you get that specific.
That's very cool. Well, Kelly, congratulations on the movie and all the best with this and everything else in the future. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Jackson. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome. Smurfs The Lost Village opens in select theaters on Thursday, April 6th, with showings beginning at 5 p.m., and then it goes everywhere the next day, Friday, April 7th. Go see it. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson with the LCJ Q&A.